The culture of a people must continuously serve them, nourishing their inspiration, guiding their action, and providing consolation and comfort, balance and equanimity in both their joys and sorrows. If there be a culture totally divorced from their life, soon enough then the people would reject that culture and walk out of its salutary and rejuvenating embrace. A culture, when sustained through its religious practices, if it has no elasticity, will come to choke the growth of the community, and the people will then outgrow that culture. If an unyielding iron ring is put around a growing tree, in time, as the tree grows, the ring will be swallowed up into the very dimension and growth of the vigorous tree. Many are the different cultures that had thus withered away into chaos because they had not the elasticity to embrace the new girth into which the community has grown. Our Bharatiya culture, as expressed through Hinduism, never died through all these millenniums only because our culture had the required elasticity to embrace all the new dimensions into which our society grew along the march of time. The ideas enshrined in the Upanishads, couched as discussions held by the rishis and their disciples in the forest of vastness along the Ganges banks, the way of life and the eternal values that were preached therein gathered in the minds of the people an association with the mountains, the trees, the silence, and the spirit of retirement of the jungles. In short, the Upanishadic philosophy came to carry about itself, for no fault of their own, the fragrance of the forest, the hum of the Ganges, and the hymn of the eternal snow peaks. In the history of our cultural growth, thus, a time came when people felt that to live Hinduism is to live in retreat, away from the rush of the people, the noise of the marketplace, the struggles of the rustic fields, and the moving into the silence and quietude of the Himalayas. Such a dangerous concept was prevalent not only among the unintelligent and the uninitiated, but even the educated and the well-informed men of action themselves shared in this national misconception of their own life-giving culture. Arjuna himself felt the need for renouncing the world and refusing to fulfill his duties towards the community in order to retire into the silent arbors of contemplation and meditation. This is against the very dynamic spirit of the Hindu culture, against the very national security of the country, against all the material welfare of our people. Left to itself, as a culture, however sacred and benevolent it be, must surely die away. The people would bravely march out of the nourishing embrace of a culture when its interpretations happen to be thus an insistence against the welfare of the people. It is at such a time of a crucial cultural crisis in our country, the genius of Sri Veda Vyasa produced the Bhagavad Gita, all through keeping his pen faithful to the fundamental thoughts of the Upanishads, their sane conclusions, their demonstrated theories, and their spectacular achievements. Here in the Bhagavad Gita, we find a practical handbook of instruction on how best we can reorganize our ways of thinking, feeling, and acting in our everyday life and draw from ourselves a large gush of productivity to enrich the life outside and around us and to emblazon the subjective life within us. As we proceed on into our serious study of the Gita, chapter by chapter, we shall find how she unfurls a way of life by living which we can grow to be socially more productive men and individually more balanced and tranquil, pursuing our life at peace with ourselves. Without this inward balance and the readiness to act well in the world outside, how can an individual ever successfully face his own problems in life? When each individual fails to face the challenges outside him, since the community is made up of individuals, the community will not be able to face its own or the nation's problems. In fact, there can never be a nation which has not any problem to face. The more vigorous the national life, the more pestered must we be with our problems. To have problems is the expression of a vigorous life, and where there are no problems,